gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100-yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, we are in episode 119. This is the Super Bowl. One game left. How are you feeling about this game? Are you excited? Are you like, it's two teams that you don't like? But like, where are you? Where are you, Ron?
Honestly, like, I'm at a point where, like, I'm not emotionally ready or invested at all for the Super Bowl. You know, we're talking about it a few minutes ago. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't even, they're not even aware that there's a game, like, Sunday for some reason. So, I'm sure when we get closer to Sunday, I'm going to get a little bit more excited. But as of now, I don't have any plans. I obviously will watch the game. I don't root for either of those teams. I expect a decent game. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, obviously, people that don't watch the NFL are going to be like shocked, like, oh, the Super Bowl is this Sunday, a.k.a. my wife. But people like us who love this game and watch this game, these are two teams that we really despise. So this week, there's nothing good about Kansas City or Philadelphia unless you are an actual fans of these teams.
So. Yeah. And I honestly have not watched any of like the leading, you know, the stuff that's leading up to the Super Bowl like all this week. I haven't really paid any attention to any non-Steelers related like podcasts or anything like that. So, you know, we'll see. I'm sure Kansas City fans, Philadelphia fans are
over the moon.
They're excited, sure.
I've seen so many tweets and videos and people posting in their gear. I'm like, I remember those days. It was only 5 years ago that we were there. Actually, 6 years ago now that we were there. Okay, so today on this episode, we'll have the NFL news. We'll have our Super Bowl predictions. And then we'll have our three favorite prop bets. Mine's anyways have a lot of value. Will they hit? You'll be the judge of that with your own money. So Ron, let's start off with Andy Reid. I caught a glimpse of the interview this week, and he said that next season will be his last season. We were talking about like, well, the Chiefs are already won four Super Bowls, right? Four Super Bowls. So this would be their fifth if they win. Next year will be their sixth if they win. And then we were like talking like, heck, he could stick around one more year and win number seven.
Yeah, and to be fair, his comment was, I will be around for at least one more year. So he's promising one more year, potentially more. We'll see, I guess, how he feels, where they're at, where he's at, I'm sure. And that's it. I mean, he's 66, right? You talked about four championships right now. The Steelers and Patriots are sitting at six. And then I think you got like San Francisco and Dallas right behind him, right at five.
Yeah, five, right.
So I was thinking about this when you sent me the graphic of like Super Bowl championships. And I'm wondering to myself, you know, a couple days out from the Super Bowl here, what is most likely to happen? You know, will either Pittsburgh or the Patriots win a seventh Lombardi trophy, or will some other team like Kansas City, 49ers, you know, Cowboys, I think they have four as well. Will any of those teams just like pass them and, you know, get to seven before our teams can even get to seven?
It's hard to predict because you can say that about Kansas City because I feel like we know who's helming the team, Mahomes and Reed. We still don't know, are the Cowboys going to be any good? Are the Patriots going to be good? Are the Steelers going to like go over that hump?
Yeah.
So we don't know. Like, I feel like there's more uncertainty with those teams than they are with Kansas City.
Yeah, so, I agree for sure.
Yeah.
And I would honestly, I mean, Kansas City, obviously, you know, they got some ground to make up. But even teams like San Francisco, I have more faith in the 49ers winning, you know, winning a Super Bowl, or winning two Super Bowls before we can win one, before the Steelers can get to one. So, you know, it just makes me think, you know, it's been so long since the Steelers were able to win a championship. I feel like it's going to be, you know, we're not anywhere close to that level yet, but other teams, other franchises are just have come and they're close to passing us. And this whole aura mystique around the Steelers, you know, as being, they're not America's team, but they're, you know, they're the one of the first teams you think about when you think about like the NFL. That mystique, I think, is like slowly, you know, just dissipating, whatever that word is. It's just, you know, no one, I don't think anyone can look back now and say, okay, just based on like what's happened in recent history, that the Steelers are the greatest franchise ever. I think before you can have that conversation about Steelers and the Cowboys, I don't think, I'm starting to feel like the longer we get away from like the Steelers or like the 70s, especially, like, you know, I don't think you can hold the Steelers up to that same regard anymore.
No, I think it's like what we talked about in the last episode. Like, I think it's generational, right? Like right now you look at Kansas City and people say, wow, this is probably the greatest team ever assembled. But then when you think about it and you know your history, you're like, no, the Steelers actually were pretty dominant in the 70s. And then somebody can say, well, what about the 90s with the Cowboys? They were a pretty good team. So I think if you live in the present, you're going to probably say Kansas City hands down. But then like you said, some of that, it's not that it's, I feel like it's fading away, right? It's still going to be there because obviously you can't change the past, but right, it's definitely fading. Like as more fans of different teams and, you know, new franchises pop up, I think that, you know, the fan base dwindles. So who knows, maybe by the time that we talk about Super Bowls, maybe the Steelers are in the Super Bowl, maybe the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and they'd be like, oh, this might be the greatest team. Look at the history. So I think that people forget.
When's that happening? I guess I feel like that's not in this decade.
I don't know.
I might be in my 60s before that happens again.
I mean, hell, remember what I said? Say we're gonna continue this show until one of those things happen. And like you said, we could be in our like 50s, 60s, and be like, hey, welcome to the Tim podcast. I'll be a co-host. And you know, it's like a lot of things can happen. So yeah, it's sad to think about it, but at the same time, like at least is a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
A little bit of hope. Ron, the other thing of news, there's going to be 1.39 billion bets this weekend because now that they made it legal, I saw like people like as young as like 15 putting bets. Because, you know, they got their mother's or parents' password, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, it's betting now like just part of the sport.
I think it's, well, one, I think it's been part of the sport for a while. I think now that it's legal, it's just like widespread and more visible. You know, now I was thinking a lot about this, you know, I feel like the floodgates are wide open and there's very little guards, you know, to keep people from, you know, gambling like their entire life away. Obviously, you know, we see the commercials about like being safe, and I think the NFL has something about like gambling addiction and all this other stuff. But like, you can watch like the NFL shows, like Good Morning Football or the Sunday Show, and you know they're promoting gambling. Yeah. ESPN is promoting gambling. They have a whole show on ESPN about, you know, betting and stuff like that. It's just so in our face. And I think, I wonder, you know, if we are like, if people in general, especially young adults, like you said, are mentally ready to be able to gamble responsibly. You know, look at it as doing something fun, but don't like commit to the point where you're, you know, you can't pay your mortgage or you're, you know, gas or something like that to get to work.
I believe that it is an addiction. And like I said, if you don't look at it as it's just entertainment, you look at it as like, no, this is my way of life.
Yeah.
This is all I do is just gamble on sports.
But so many people gamble. I've talked to people who I know that like sports, but then they tell me, yeah, I got some money on this. I'm like, you know, I would never have thought that you would put money on, you know, NFL or NBA or anything like that. You know, how do you know when it turns from like a little hobby, you know, controlled hobby to like a full blown addiction? I guess, how do people know, you know, when they have an issue?
I mean, I've gone on YouTube and just put like sports betting, and the number of channels that come up, it's unbelievable. And they all say the same thing, like, my picks are the best. They're gonna guarantee to win, and if they don't win, it's a miracle. It's not meant to be.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we will have some bets at the end of the show. Anyways, but yeah, just be responsible with the betting.
Exactly. Be responsible and know that, like, you know, we're betting. Some people are winning, but at the end of the day, like, the casinos are winning, right?
Yeah, the house.
That's why the house wins, and that's why they're throwing all these commercials and ads, you know, at you, because they want more money. And I can only imagine, now that it's legal, like you said, how much more money the casinos, Vegas is making right now.
Yeah, I know there's some states they put limitations on, but let's be honest, it doesn't. I mean, that they tried that with everything else, and it didn't work out. So come on. Before we get to the free agents, let's talk about this three-peat for Pat Riley. He trademarked it. So I saw that the NFL basically made a deal with Pat Riley to use three-peat if Kansas City wins on Sunday. So Pat Riley trademarked this back in the 80s when he was coaching the Lakers. And now every time a team three-peats, which doesn't happen often. I think the Bulls was the last team that... No, the Bulls and the New York Yankees were the last two teams that actually did a three-peat. But he got paid. He got paid by MLB when the Yankees did it. He got paid by the NBA when the Bulls did it. So, I tip my hat to Pat Riley.
Yeah, absolutely.
He saw something that was rare, and he just capitalized on it. So... However, the details didn't come out. What was the agreement between him and the NFL? So I'm just thinking, like, probably, as I told you, they probably already have the shirts and the hats printed.
And I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but, you know, it's so funny that, like, when that story broke about, you know, the whole three-peat thing, a story broke like the very next day about the officials and the refs being like annoyed at, the thought that fans actually think that the NFL's favoring and making calls for the Chiefs. So, you know, you got them going after the trademark, the 3-peat trademark. That almost feels like they're promoting a Chiefs win in some sense. But then you got the officials, you know, coming out and saying, no, that's not the case. You know, we judge every single game fairly when, you know, we all know, like, the Kansas City Chiefs, you just look at the statistics, like the number of penalties called against them versus their opponents. You know, they're not judged the same way, right?
Yeah, let's be honest. They have to make t-shirts of both teams before this game, right? So they were just business as usual. They're just like, hey, let's CYA everything that we can, including this, because if they didn't contact Pat Riley, he could probably sue them. Imagine that. And he's gotta take us to court because we used 3-peat. So hey, hats off to Pat Riley. So the free agent market and the trade market. Let's talk about the free agents. Let's talk about T. Higgins, because I guess for some reason PFF has him as the number one free agent out there.
He is.
Do you think that he gets paid?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's going to. I think he either takes a home discount to stay with Cincinnati, which I think it's a real possibility, to be quite honest with you. Like, they have a good thing going. Yeah, they got to fix their defense, but I think most players know that you don't leave a team. Well, you shouldn't leave a team where you're very close to making the playoffs, making a run and winning a Super Bowl, and try to get paid somewhere else, because you can end up like being on a crappy team and not winning. So I'm not saying he's going to stay, but I do think he's going to get paid. And if he wants to get paid the most, he'll probably end up having to leave the Bengals to do so. I do feel he is the number one, definitely number one receiver target. There's rumors and obviously noise about a lot of teams that would be interested in T. Higgins, including our teams, right? The Patriots and the Steelers. So, you know, we'll see where he ends up. It wouldn't shock me, though, if he, you know, ends up settling for a cheaper deal, let's say like $24-25 million, to stay with Cincinnati.
Because has Jamar Chase already gotten the extension or not yet?
I don't know. I think he got one, but I don't know where he's at in terms of salary.
The other wide receiver they have here is Chris Godwin. So do you think he leaves Tampa or do you think he stays?
I mean, he's another one too, and he most likely will end up staying. I think with both of these players, more so with Godwin, there's the injury piece. Both those players have, I don't know if they've played a full season like each of the last like three years. They you know, I don't want to say they're call them injury prone, but they've had injuries, just, you know, so, but I think both of them are going to end up getting contracts north of $20 million for sure. Looking at Jamar Chase right now, he's earning, looks like his cap hit is at $21,816,000 right now.
So he hasn't gotten the extension. So I don't see T. Higgins staying there, because then they would have to pay both of them. Cincinnati has money, but not that kind of money. Yeah, I think one of them, they're probably going to pay Chase and let T. Higgins walk. The other free agents they have here, I'm just going to go to the top five. So Godwin, T. Higgins, Khalil Mack is another free agent. Does he stay or does he go to somewhere else?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I think he's on a good team. He may end up staying. You know, it's up to the Chargers if they want to, you know, pay him or try to go younger. I don't see him necessarily leaving.
Yeah, I don't see him leaving. The other guy that they have here is he's actually a safety for the Dolphins, Javon Holland. I don't know if can they afford a new? I feel like the Miami Dolphins just spend money.
Yeah, but I, you know, I wonder what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill, because wasn't he making noise about wanting to like be traded at 1.2?
Yeah, he wants to be traded for sure. He doesn't like Miami. But then like, what is he gonna be traded and have 10 more kids? I don't know. Like, what's going on with this guy? I don't know. The last guy they have on here is a guard for the Chiefs, Trey Smith. If they win, he's probably not going in. Let's be honest. As much as they talk about like, oh, I got to get paid, they love playing for a champion.
Yeah, but, you know, the salary cap is a real thing. So, you know, it's hard when you go through negotiations. You're up against the cap. Most teams that are, you know, in playoffs and stuff are up against it.
Well, so, not this team. I think they're in the top five for cap room.
Chiefs?
The Chiefs are, yeah. There's something like $87 million. Like, they're going to have available. So they can spend. They're going to be able to spend. I think that they've been smart about it because they've been drafting a lot of defensive players and they've gone really cheap on wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they brought back Hunt, which was peanuts, basically. I think that, you know, we're talking about 6-7 Super Bowls if they play it right. So I don't know. I don't know about this. If they win on Sunday, he's not going anywhere. They'll find. And I think I was hearing in a podcast that this salary cap is malleable. So you don't have to, you can defer some money. You don't, you know, it's very like, they were using the Dallas Cowboys and how they do, like, they pay people up front to kind of avoid the salary cap. So it just depends on, like, the front office and how they want to handle things. But yeah, this is a free agent class. I don't think that it's like a very like, whoa, look at this guy. But then when we talk about trade, Myles Garrett just asked for a trade. He's basically an all-pro linebacker, edge rusher. So do you think that the Browns will just grant him his wish and move him out?
No. At least they're not going to, I mean.
He has 2 years left.
Yeah. Listen, they are far away from winning a championship and he wants to win, but he doesn't have like a no trade clause or anything like that. So, you know, I don't necessarily, they've already came out and said that they don't plan on trading him. Now that can just be all talk, because I think what they can get back for him, especially if they're rebuilding, is probably 2 first-round picks. So I think it would be in their best interest to do so, but they're, you know, they got to like be careful how they move forward with this, because you also don't want to piss like your fans off. That's your best player. You know,
you don't want a Dallas Mavericks situation. Yeah.
That's like the number one selling jersey probably in Cleveland, you know, for the Browns. So you got to be careful how you handle that situation. You know, will he end up being traded? We'll see. I think he wants to win, but he doesn't have a choice, you know, as far as what team he gets moved to. That's going to be up to Cleveland if they decide to do so and what offers they get. But I don't blame him at the same time, because, you know, he's already dedicated, I don't know how many years to them. And it hasn't worked. They don't have a franchise quarterback. They're stuck paying Watson like, what, $45 million the next 2 years or something like that. So it's hard to rebuild your team when you have that contract. So they're in shambles right now. And it makes sense for him to move on at this point.
Yeah, he got drafted in 2017. So he's been there 8 years already. How many more years is like prime Myles Garrett in? 2?
Probably 3-4 more years.
So he requested a trade, but Cooper Kupp was told by the Rams, we're going to trade you. So do you, because Cooper Kupp, he's got those injuries, right? He's a
number of injuries as well, each of the last like 3 seasons as well. His contract is huge, and I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but it's a pretty significant contract that he had. I think that's the biggest thing. You're paying him all this money. He's not available, and he's not your number one anymore anyways. So, yeah, he's beyond his prime, at least just based on his injury history. You don't think you'll ever get that guy back. So I can see why they would want to move on from him. Now, he didn't agree with it. He wants to kind of stay, but they're not going to, like, allow you to stay at that contract. So I don't know if something's going to end up being worked out. I doubt it.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to like either restructure his contract.
You'll have to take a huge pay cut to stay there.
Huge pay cut. Or there's always option B, which is just dropping him. Just like, okay, we're out. Because this is, NFL is the only league where that's allowed, where you can just say, oh, well, you know what? We're just going to drop you.
Yeah, but yeah. You have to come back and still pay their salary. Whatever's guaranteed, you have to pay them. So
the guarantee is usually paid up front. So if you sign a contract, you get the guarantees up front. And then if you stay for the length of the contract, you get that money. But it's not always the issue. And is there a team out there that's willing to take that contract?
That's the problem, right? So I don't think there is. Now, if the Rams, they can take some of the costs. They can eat like the cost of whatever the trade is, right? And they may be willing to do some of it, like $10 million, $15 million, whatever it is. You know, and then the other team picks up the rest. But that's the part, like, they're going to have to, like, figure out how to negotiate. Plus, you know, the draft pick. Like, what's the right compensation to give back, because I don't know what Rams are looking for, but Cup with his injury history, you're probably not getting anything more than like a fifth or sixth round pick at this point, maybe even late, like maybe even a sixth or seventh round pick, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's up to the agent and the Rams and negotiating all that blah 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 stuff. So so that's the NFL news for this episode. Let's go to the big game, Ron. Kansas City at Philadelphia. When I did this, the spread was 1.5. Is still 1.5?
I am looking right now. It is 1.5. 48.5 is the over-under.
Yeah, that's for over-under. Ron, what's your prediction for this game?
Listen, I don't know. This game can go so many different ways. It's hard for me to bet against Kansas City. Now, I can tell you right up front, I think Philadelphia has the better team. I think offensively, with, you know, the offensive line is better. Their receivers are better. Their running back is obviously better. Having said that, the quarterback for Kansas City is better. On the defensive side, the defense for Philly is better. So, you know, everything points to, for the most part, points to Philadelphia. But, you know, you're going against Mahomes, and, you know, who just has magic. And then you're going against Andy Reid. So, you know, it's hard for me to ever bet against Kansas City. And I don't think I can do that until someone knocks them off the throne. So I'm taking Kansas City to win this one 24-23 in a really close, close game.
So you have a total of 47 points. So you think they're going to go under?
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week I was pretty upset because I was like, Buffalo, man, you just couldn't do it. You just couldn't knock Kansas City off. You know, this was the fourth year in a row. You just couldn't do it. I was really upset. And then I was like, you know what? Kansas City, it's almost like destiny, right? Has to happen. It just has to happen. I'm going to go with 20-17 Kansas City, and everything you said is right. Philly has a better running back, a better offensive line. They have a better defense. But I don't fully trust Jalen Hurts. And at the beginning of the season, we both picked Jalen Hurts as to be the MVP, right? And he did not play like an MVP. And I don't like Nick Sirianni as a coach because he could be all over the place. So basically, when I looked at these two teams, I was like, the one most important position I don't trust, and that's Jalen Hurts. And I don't, maybe things are different from the last Super Bowl. I don't remember what the final score was, but they didn't have Barkley. The defense is much, much better. I still think that Mahomes-Reed is just a good connection. It's just a good dynamic. I just don't see them being knocked off. Will they get a 3B? Yes, will be. The narrative is going to be like, oh, the Kansas City, the best team ever. It's coming. It's coming. I can almost see Stephen A. Smith just yelling, this is the greatest team that I have ever seen. I have ever witnessed. So fine. Give them all the roses. Give them all the flowers. It is Kansas City. I picked them to win and I went under. I have 37 points total. I think that Philly doesn't get going until the second half. I think that the strategy for Kansas City is just aim in on the box. Just do whatever it takes to stop Saquon and let, you know, AJ Brown or Smith beat you. I think that's the key. That's going to be the key. And if they can't stop Barkley, then the game is over. It's going to be all Philly because then they can do play action. They can do, you know, run option. But if they stop Barkley, then you're going to tell Jalen Hurts, you got to win this game.
Yeah.
And I don't trust him. I just don't.
Yeah. And I think they have the players to slow down Barkley and they'll make a commitment to. A lot of teams don't make the commitment to stop him by putting, you know, 9, 10, you know, in the box. They're too scared of Smith and Brown beating them, so they try to play conservative, and then Barkley just rips one off, and then you're done. So I think Kansas City, Reed knows he'll need to take some chances, and force Hurts to make throws, like you said. And, you know, we'll see who wins those battles. You know, I think Hurts will need to make some big plays, some explosive plays in the passing game for them to have a chance to beat Kansas City. But I see them falling short, you know, and then, you know, on the other side of it, I think Kansas City offensively, they just figure it out. They don't have superstars, like you said. Kelce is aging. You know, he's not the same, but there's a difference between playoff Kelce, too. He, like, shows up in the playoffs. But, like, there's something magical about Mahomes, like how he's able to just drag these no-names, if you will, at receivers. And then the running backs, like you said, Hunt, Pacheco, they're serviceable guys. They just do enough to win. And, you know, I think they'll squeak out a win somehow, like they've done all year long.
I think that we'll see some, you know, we'll see a lot of one-on-ones, and we'll see AJ Brown, maybe like a 30-yard, or Smith, Devontae Smith, the 40-yard, but I don't think that they're going to give a touchdown.
Yeah, can you capitalize off of it? Yes,
can you do something? I just don't see that. And there was a lot of times against the Commanders where they could have used a tush push, right? They could have, and they didn't. So I don't know if they just don't have the personnel. I don't know what's going on, but if I was Philly, and I'm talking to you, Philly fans, I would be nervous about this game. Because you're basically, your team is standing between history. That's a lot of pressure. And I don't know if Nick Sirianni is ready for that pressure. So,
he's gotten his team into the playoffs and the Super Bowl like how many times now? So it's hard for me to say he's, you know, and I know he has a great roster. Whoever's building his franchise for him has done an outstanding job, you know, drafting players, you know, picking up free agents and stuff like that, trades and all that stuff. But it's, you have to kind of give him credit for getting his team there so many times now. You know, whether you like him and his antics, like on the field, or not, you got to kind of give him credit for getting his team into the Super Bowl one more time.
I'd say that's where I don't give him credit, because he's actually come out in an interview and said, like, you know, the offense is run by Kellen Moore, I don't get involved. And the defense is run by Vic Fangio, I don't get involved.
That is how a head coach is supposed to be.
Head coach supposed to oversee everything, every decision. He did come out and say that on fourth down, they do like go to him and they like, hey, Nick, what would you do? But there's a like when to blitz, when to like go deep, what kind of like he.
But that's the.
There's a difference between delegating and there's a difference between staying away. Yeah. That's not.
Listen. I don't think it's saying. Well, I look at it this way. You know for a dang fact, like Reed has nothing to do with the defense. Like, and then the guy.
But he has everything to do with the offense.
Same thing in Minnesota. Same thing in Miami. Like, those guys don't focus on the defense whatsoever. They're heavily invested in the offense. So, what's
Nick focuses on it? The special team? That's what I mean. It's like, I feel like. He's
there as a head coach to make those tough decisions, like
just like when to go on fourth down. That I feel that, like,
and what's when the you're game a head plan, coach? What's your strategy for the game?
That's fine if you can prepare that before the game,
right?
But in game, like in game management, I want to see the head coach take advantage of everything. Like, hey, I have my hands on the offense. I have my hands on the defense. I have my hands on the special team. Like. I don't want him to be like, you know what, we have a game plan, we're sticking to it. Because then you don't make adjustments, in-game adjustments.
Well, I can tell you, Tomlin has his hand on everything, and he makes absolutely zero adjustments whatsoever. He has his thumb on everything, and that's why...
Things didn't work out for Mayo? Because he was like, hands off. He was like, you know what, offense, do your thing, defense, do your thing, and what happened? He only lasted 1 year.
Yeah, but things, I mean... There's good and bad of every approach. And like when you have, I mean, there's lots of talk about it this week on the Steelers side, you know, with like Russell Wilson not getting along and all having this rift with Arthur Smith, right? Wilson had that game against Cincinnati throw for 400 yards. He was audibling like 80% of the time, you know, he was audibling out of like the play call. And that's what made him have a good game. Well, the very next game, Smith went to him and say, you know, we need to like dial it back, and like completely took that away from him, according to, you know, what was reported. Now, I don't think it was necessarily Arthur Smith that said, hey, don't audible, we don't trust you, even though you're like a, what, 15-year bet. I think it's more of Tomlin saying, hey, let's not, I don't want to win these games like 40 to whatever. We got to run the ball. Let's stick with it. Make sure he doesn't audible. He has to stick with the play call. I think is Tomlin having his thumb too far on the offense, which is something he doesn't really know about. I think he has his thumb on the defense, which he claims to be an expert about. But you saw how they gave up like 300 yards rushing against their defense. I think he holds coordinators back. Him, I think Rooney, I think they hold their coordinators back when they're too involved on, you know, in making those type of decisions. Why have coordinators if you're going to call the play, you Listen, know, or tell them what to do and micromanage?
Is, you know,
why
going back to, because the Steelers are ran different than the Philadelphia Eagles, right? The Eagles, they are as an organization. All they needed was somebody to helm the bus. We already put the bus together for you. All you have to do is helm the bus. With the Steelers, I feel like Mike Tomlin, like, no. I have to be involved in every decision that's made. This is a different type of management. All I'm saying is, do you trust this guy, Sirianni, to handle the bus that's already been in place there? Like, is he a trusted bus driver? And I'm saying, like, until he wins one, the jury's still out.
Yeah, that's true.
The jury's still out.
I agree to that. But
because
I think
Peterson won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. And like 2 years later, he was gone. So it's like, and not that the roster was still there, but the organization was like, you're not producing what we thought you would. If, and I'm going out on the limb, if Philly doesn't win this game, I can definitely see Sirianni out.
No. Well,
yes,
it will be a disappointment because the roster is loaded for sure.
I'm telling you, I know this organization. If you're not producing, and this will be his, what, second Super Bowl that he didn't win.
Well, you know what I can say? I wish we had those standards in Pittsburgh, because I, you know, we go 8-9 years without a playoff win, and we seem to be completely comfortable with that without firing one coach, not even a head coach. We can't even fire any of the assistant coaches, the coordinators, nothing. We don't do anything. I wish we had those same standards as Philly does, if that's the case.
Yeah, Philly was, who's the owner? Laurie's the owner. He doesn't mess around.
Yeah, well,
he does not mess around.
That's why they're in it, and that's why they've been a better franchise over the last like 15 plus years, you know, than Pittsburgh.
No, they know who runs things. All right, Ron, who are your three prop bets for this weekend, for this big game?
Yeah, so didn't really pay too close attention to this. I did look over it like during the early part of this week. I'll definitely pay more attention as we get closer, Saturday and Sunday for sure. Some stuff I like just went skimming over it, and it goes back to like what I think how this game plan is going to go. It'd be a relatively close game. I think Philly will move the ball but struggle to get in the end zone. I see them like having to kick some field goals. So I'm choosing Jake Elliott. The over-under was 1.5 field goals at plus 105. That seems to me like a pretty easy one for him to get two field goals in the game. I think there was another one with him with points, 6.5 points. That seems pretty easy for him to get two. You know, two field goals, a couple extra points.
Yeah,
it's right there, basically. The other one I got is Nick Bolton, the under. The over-under right now for tackles is 8.5, which doesn't seem a lot. And you think, okay, Kansas City's playing Philly. Philly's going to run the ball. There's going to be plenty of opportunity for Nick to make a lot of tackles. When I went back and looked at like Kansas City when they played like teams like the Ravens, the Steelers, the most tackles he had was like six or seven tackles. He never got to 8. So this is saying he'll get to 9 tackles in this game. I don't see that happening. So I'm taking the under there. That's at minus 135. And then Xavier Worthy combined rushing and receiving yards at 63.5. I took the over there. I can definitely see him getting involved in the run game. They will definitely do a reverse or a toss or something with him out of the backfield, without a doubt. I can guarantee that.
That's probably like an automatic 30 yards right there.
Right. You're probably looking at minimum like 15 yards. You'll probably end up scoring off a play like that. But I'm taking that 63 and a half total yards. You'll get receiving yards as well. That's at minus 125. So those are my three, I think, safe bets, I'd say. I let me pull up like how much I put. I think I put $20 on those props. And I think the return was around 155 or something like that total.
Oh, those are all good. Mine's are. I looked at the value of each one. So first quarter Hunt touchdown plus 600. So, you know, I'll be honest, I got killed in the playoff by doing this, but I feel good about Hunt having a touchdown in the first quarter. Juju, your boy, Schuster, 13 and a half receiving yards over. It's plus 105. All he has to do is have one catch, and I think he...
What was his average for catches?
One.
Exactly.
That's why it's plus...
There's games where these receivers just absolutely disappear.
That's why it's plus 105, because, hey, if he gets one catch, that'll be like his average. And then this is kind of a negative one, but I feel like maybe it could happen with his defense. Mahomes, one interception, the over is plus 100. So these are, I thought they were good values. Like I said, I already maxed out. I don't think I could do any more prop bets, but if you got the extra cash, do it. So Ron.
Yeah. I'm just to go back to like the bets and stuff. I am definitely going to do a couple more. I think I have like $20 left for my spending. So I'm going to do something more risky for sure. I don't know what it is yet. Last year, just going back to last year, I ended up winning. What was that? I can't remember. Like $200, something like that. Off of
McCaffrey, right?
Yeah. Running back throwing a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So I ended up winning there. I just had a feeling, and these are the type of games when you get to the Super Bowl, it's like everything goes
right.
Like, right. So there's tons of trick plays, like they're opening up the playbook. Yeah. Especially like someone like Reed. So stuff like that, like, you know, a non-quarterback throwing a touchdown or, you know, something crazy happening. You can expect, you know, teams to go all out and make those type of plays because it's a Super Bowl. You know, this is it. This is what you play for. So it's, you know, but I'll take a look to see, you know, what's out there for this year. And I'm sure I'll be more aggressive with these last like $20.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's some of these, so many. I think I saw one where the tight end for the Philly. It was like plus 1,000 for him to get a touchdown. I was like, geez. That is crazy because he's actually been pretty good in this playoff. So I was surprised. Anyways, what I was going to say, Ron, I know you want Kansas City to win this game, but...
I don't want Kansas City to win this game.
You don't want Kansas City, but you predicted for him to a victory?
Yeah. I prefer Philly to win. I'm tired of hearing about Kansas City, but it's just hard to vote or to just predict against them because they win all the time. But
I wish none of these teams would win.
Exactly. That's exactly right. To be honest, I'd hate both of these teams equally, but I definitely prefer not to keep hearing about Kansas City and how great Mahomes is. I would love not to hear that. But then at the same time, also worried. Imagine if Philly does win. You think Sirianni's annoying now? Can you imagine like how annoying he would be if he won a Super Bowl? How arrogant he would be on the sidelines if he ends up winning one.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Please don't let that happen. Actually, I don't know. Would I take annoying Sirianni over 1,000 stories about like
the greatest of all time?
I think I would take Sirianni. Yeah. Because, you know, that's going to be like temporary.
Yeah.
Mahomes could be like for a long, long time. So you like Philly, but you in your heart it's Philly, but in your head, Kansas City's probably gonna pull this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I feel like Andy Reid, he's gonna go out guns blazing. Like you said, this is a Super Bowl. Trick plays are gonna be like all over the place. I think I've seen Kansas City run trick plays. I haven't seen Philly run trick
plays. No. Outside of like, I mean, they'll do some, they've done screens, stupid stuff like, right? Yeah. I mean, like they'll do a fake tush push, end up like throwing downfield or something like that. I haven't seen anything like too exotic from Philly yet, but I mean, give a team 2 weeks to plan. They'll come up with something. It might be something on special teams, like a fake punt or, you know, something like that. So we'll see.
Oh man. I don't know how I feel about this game, watching this game. Like, I don't know who to root for. I can't root for neither of these teams. Yeah. Like, I can't, physically cannot, like, see them. Even if Philly scores or Philly's up and winning, I can't physically, like, put my hands together and be like, go team, go. So, I don't know how I feel. So, next week, we'll have our post-Super Bowl wrap-up. We'll have our season wrap-up. It'll be episode 120. And then we're off the air for what? Till April, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we need to figure that out. There's free agency, which lasts a long time. There's the draft that won't happen until...
Because free agent opens in March. And then the draft is in late April, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Late April.
Yeah. So we'll open season 5 with the pre-draft... Yeah. Free agent roundup, and then we'll do our post draft.
Yeah.
So that'll be episode 121, 122. And then we don't record again till August. So we'll have, you know, May, June, July to basically off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sad, but hey, every year, this is where it ends.
Like clockwork.
Like clockwork. So, So next week, listen, put in, and then we'll say our thank you, we'll say our goodbyes, and you know, we'll see what our teams are doing.
Yeah,
I'm very excited what my team is doing. So I'm very excited. I want to see what the draft process goes, but I'm very excited for the Mike Vrabel era.
Yeah, it's here.
Yeah,
so
it's here. All right, Ron, you want to say any last words?
No, man. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive. Let's, you know, watch the games, be entertained by the games and the halftime. Who's performing? Is it Kendrick Lamar? Yeah, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
And this is not a coincidence. I was looking up like concert tickets. And who's on tour this year? Kendrick Lamar. So I was like, okay, well.
Oh, yeah, this is the one in New Orleans. A Lil Wayne never got invited, right?
Well, he like cried or something. I don't know. I saw like a interview. He was like crying that he didn't get invited. I was like.
That's kind of messed up, though.
But he hasn't had a hit in like 10 years.
Yeah, he's still, I mean,
might as well just invite the whole crew. The whole... Well, what's his name? Cash Money Crew.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
New Orleans.
Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I'd say peace.
Peace. All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMS. PRTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.
Sim Podcast Show.